Isaiah chapter 40 through to chapter 45 provide rich and fertile soil from which the child of God might draw much comfort and much encouragement. And our text this evening, Isaiah 40 and verse 11, is such a text. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. This text of Scripture has a reference to the coming of Christ, I believe, to this earth physically for the first time, because we read earlier in the passage in verse number 3 that prophecy that speaks of John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And it speaks of the earthly ministry of the Savior. But I believe as well it also has reference as well to the second coming of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse number 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Speaking about that day whenever the Lord will come to reward his servants. So this text has got reference to the first coming of Christ, reference as well to the second coming of Christ, but it also has wonderful application to this present day in which we are living for every Christian. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And of course, the shepherd that is spoken of there is our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a lovely picture that gives us of our wonderful Lord. He is our Savior, our Mediator, our Advocate, our King, our Lord, our Master, our Great High Priest, our Friend. He has got many titles in Scripture, but the title of Shepherd is one that conjures up so much of imagery in our minds and hearts this evening. A tender, loving shepherd who leads and guides and provides for his flock. Of course, it says in John 10 and verse 14 that the Lord is the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for the sheep. Hebrews 13 and 30 says, or 13 and 20 says, that he is our great shepherd. And then Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and 4, he is the chief shepherd. There's none like him. He's the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. He's the great shepherd. He's almighty. And he's the chief shepherd. He's a shepherd above all shepherds. And one day, the Bible says, the chief shepherd shall appear. And here in Isaiah 40 and verse number 11, he's seen as being the shepherd of Israel. And I believe that God has a plan for the nation of Israel, but he also has a very special plan for the Israel of God. And the Israel of God in Scripture really signifies all who know and love the Savior and all who belong to him as his peculiar treasure. David called him my shepherd. And as we look at this text this evening, I trust that you'll be encouraged as we simply consider the shepherd of Israel. And there are three things that I want you to consider and draw out of this text. First of all, the text begins with the words, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. The generous grazing of the flock. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. David, of course, could testify to this personally. David being a young shepherd. And as he wrote the 23rd Psalm, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack any good thing. And you know how David went on to say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David could testify to the wonderful reality that the Lord fed him, and he could generously graze at the Lord's table and at the Lord's feet. The Lord feeds his people bountifully. There's a lovely verse over in the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse number 14, where God says, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall be their fold. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. God desires to feed his flock. And it says here, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And I believe that suggests to us certain things. I believe it tells us that the Lord supplies his flock. He feeds them. He doesn't allow them to starve. You see, the sheep in Israel, they cannot meet their own needs. They need to be led. They need to be guided to abundant pastures, fat pastures, where they will feed abundantly and have their supplies met. They need the shepherd to lead them and guide them, because the sheep naturally go astray and they will wander. But the shepherd, if he knows his sheep and if he does his homework, he knows where the sheep can be fed. And so he maketh them to lie down in green pastures. You know, tonight we have a shepherd in glory, one who supplies and meets the needs of all his flock. David said, I have been young, now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And that's a lovely thing. Not just that the Lord looks after us, but the Lord looks after the seed even of the righteous. The prophet says that God has our walls continually before him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. His supplies never fail. The world might be starving, but God provides for the needs of his own. He supplies his flock. The fact that he feeds his flock also indicates that he sustains his flock. His food nourishes his sheep. And the child of God, of course, feeds on Christ himself. We read over there in 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter about how the Christian feeds upon the Lord. It says, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The flock are to feed upon the Lord and to feed upon the food that the Lord gives them. And we are prone to fainting in the Christian life. We are prone to faltering in the Christian life. We are prone to weakness in the Christian life. We are prone to wither in the Christian life. Our hearts are deceitful, and we are so weak, and we are so poor and so needy. And yet the Lord, in feeding us, seeks to sustain us. He gives sustaining grace. And maybe tonight you have oftentimes felt like the psalmist who said in the 73rd Psalm and in the second verse, having said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet had almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. His feet had almost gone. His steps had well nigh slipped. Maybe you felt like that. And you feel that even in the Christian life, you feel so weak. And you feel so tempted and so tested and so tried. And you feel the weakness of the flesh. And you maybe see others that have grown cold. And you falter and you wonder, can the Lord uphold me? Yes, he can. Jude says he is able to keep you from falling. But the important thing is that we feed upon the food that God gives us. We can't expect to be sustained if we're not feeding upon Christ. And we're not feeding upon his word. He supplies the flock. He sustains the flock, but he strengthens the flock. He does not allow hungry saints to starve and to grow weak. The Lord himself said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if we are hungry tonight for God, and we're hungry tonight for Christ, and we're hungering after righteousness, and we're thirsting for God, the Lord assures us that he will feed us, and he assures us that he will strengthen us. I believe tonight that if we come to the Word of God and we're hungry, God will feed us. I believe if we come to God's house and we're hungry and we're desiring a word for God and we earnestly pray to that end, regardless of how weak the preacher is, if he's faithful, God will feed us and God will give us something. Because this word tonight is a living word. It's described as being like unto water. It's described as being like unto milk. It's described as being like unto honey. It's described as being like unto seed. It's described as being like unto bread. It's described as being like unto meat. And whenever we think of all of those adjectives that describe the Word of God and the pictures behind them, you see that the Word of God gives us a very wide and a very balanced and varied diet, all serving to strengthen us. There's sweetness in it. There's refreshment in it. There's protein in it, if you like. There's carbohydrates in it. There's calcium and all of these different nutrients in the Word of God to build up the inner man and the spiritual man. And therefore, it is so important if we want to be strong Christians that we feed upon the Word of God, especially if we are seeking to give out the Word of God to others. If you're teaching Sunday school, or you're involved in youth ministry or outreach work, or some type of service for the Lord, it's so important that you seek, and I seek, to feed my own soul. Whenever God called Ezekiel and was commissioning him in Ezekiel chapter 3, God gave Ezekiel a scroll and told him to eat it. And that's very picturesque language. But what he was saying, Ezekiel, as you go to minister to others and to those who are captive, you need to feed upon the Word of God yourself. You need to strengthen your own soul yourself. You see, one sign of an unhealthy sheep is if it loses its appetite. One mark of an unhealthy church is a lack of appetite for Christ. And the sad thing is, and the deceitful thing is, that very often a church can look healthy to the world around about it, but inside have no real appetite or hunger or thirst for Jesus Christ. And again, we mention it often, the Laodicean church in Revelation 3 at the end of the chapter is a classic example. A church that was rich and increased with goods and felt that they had need of nothing, but they didn't have any type of spiritual hunger or thirst at all. Because if they had, they would have realized that Christ was outside of the door of the church. They would have heard his voice. They would have opened the door. They would have brought him in and they would have sat down at that table and they would have fellowshiped with the Lord. But they were self-satisfied. But they didn't realize that they were poor and wretched and naked and blind and miserable. And the result was that they were lukewarm. Germs thrive in lukewarm conditions. Put something into the freezer, it's difficult for germs to develop. Whenever something's on the boil and it's red hot, the germs get killed. But whenever something is lukewarm, the germs thrive, and that brings sickness and all that goes with it. And oftentimes, if you were to go to Coleraine Hospital tonight, the people that are lying there and they're really sick and they're on a drip or a support machine, they've lost their appetite. They don't have a desire for food. And they need to be strengthened, and we need to feed upon the Lord. He supplies the flock, he sustains the flock, he strengthens the flock, and he satisfies the flock. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He satisfies the flock. In Isaiah chapter 55 and in the second verse, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not, diligently hearken unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And that is speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says, you're so taken up with spending your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. One of the prophets asked the question, the minor prophets, wherefore do you spend your money and you put it into bags that are full of holes? And there's nothing there at the end of it. And your labor does not even satisfy you. And he says, I've got bread here for you, and I invite you to come and eat this bread and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You see, the true child of God can never be satisfied with that which is outside of Jesus Christ. If we have truly tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we will have a hunger for him. And if we try to find that satisfaction in things that are not Jesus Christ, we'll be left empty and hungry and destitute. But the Lord Jesus Christ said that if we feed upon him, he will satisfy that hunger. What a promise God has given to us in his word. As a young Christian, I remember God really speaking to me through Isaiah chapter 58 and the verse 11. The Lord shall guide thee continually and shall satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And 20 years ago, that verse was so precious and so real. And as I look back over the years, and we're living, yes, in days of spiritual dearth and barrenness and drought, but in the midst of it all, God can still furnish a table in the wilderness and satisfy the souls of his flock, the generous grazing of the flock. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. But then there's another lovely part of this verse, the middle part of the text of verse 11, Isaiah 40. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. The gracious gathering of the flock. What wonderful, wonderful words these are. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. You'll note there who it is that he gathers. It's the lambs. You will notice in the ministry of Jesus Christ our Lord that he has a very special interest in the lambs of the flock. And that became very evident whenever the mothers of Salem saw him and listened to him and felt at great liberty to bring their children along, and other children came and they sat around the Lord's feet, and the Lord ministered to them. He laid his hands upon them. He touched them. He loved being in their presence, and they loved being in his presence, because the Lord has a special interest in the lambs of the flock. Because isn't it the lambs of the flock that are a very easy prey to the enemy? It's the lambs that need protection. And Christ is especially sympathetic toward the lambs of the flock. Out there in Australia, there's a large bird, a wedge-tailed eagle. A huge, huge bird of prey. I remember driving early to Adelaide one Saturday morning, left the house at first light just before 5 o'clock. And I remember driving down the road and someone had hit a kangaroo the night before. And there was a wedge-tailed eagle just sitting, feeding on that kangaroo. And it was just about the height of a youngster. If it was probably just about taller than the back of one of those chairs there as it sat on a student's feet. And then whenever it took off, the wingspan, maybe 6 or 7 feet or more, and they would circle high up in the air, and they would look down, and they would look over these huge paddocks, and oftentimes they would swoop down, and they would just be able to fly down and lift a little lamb out of the flock and carry it away and devour it. And the Lord is sympathetic. He knows that the devil, like the fowls of the air, can snatch away the seed out of the heart, even of the young. And he's especially sympathetic to that. That's why he said to Peter, first of all, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Do you remember what the Lord said then? Feed my lambs. Before he called him to feed the sheep, he said, feed my lambs. The Lord is interested in the lambs of the flock. I love the story of David and Goliath, as I'm sure you all do. And whenever David was speaking with Saul, and Saul wanted David to prove his armor, and it was all out of sorts for David. David began to tell the king of Israel about how the Lord had given him victory before. Listen to what David said to Saul in 1 Samuel 17 and 34. "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, saying, he hath defied the armies of the living God. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And whenever David slew Goliath, in that there's a wonderful picture of the gospel. Here's David, an unlikely deliverer. "Just as Christ hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we shall desire him." Here's a great foe, a great enemy that everybody is in captivity and in bondage to. And down there in the valley of Elah, David alone, with his own hand, crushed the head of Goliath, took his head off his shoulders, having used that sling and stone to bring him to the ground. And that's a picture of what Christ has done for us in the gospel. He slew the enemy that none of us could slay, the enemy of sin. He bruised the serpent's head. But even before that, we have a lovely picture of the gospel as well. This lion comes into the midst of the flock. The flock gets scattered. A little lamb gets left behind. And the lion takes that little lamb in its mouth. And then David enters into the scene, puts his life in the line, and delivers the lamb out of the midst of the lion. And again, we have a wonderful picture there of the son of David himself going after the little lamb and rescuing it and gathering the lambs of the flock up in his arms. You'll consider as well from where he gathers them. The context of Isaiah chapter 40 is with regards to the nation of Israel. And that's where the Lord commenced his ministry, amongst the Israelite people. And as you study the Gospels, you will see that the Lord gathered the lambs from all sorts of different places. He called Nathanael whenever he was under the fig tree. He called Zacchaeus when he was sitting up in the sycamore tree. He went down to the harbor and he called Peter and James and John. Then he went out there into the wilderness of the Gadarenes and he called the demoniac. He went down to a street corner one day and called that woman that was taken in adultery. He went to the home of Mary Magdalene and delivered her from demonic oppression and called her. And from all sorts of places in his earthly ministry, the Lord gathered the lambs in his arms. And some of you tonight, I'm sure, can remember just where you were when the Lord came and lifted you. And maybe you were just a youngster, just a lamb. Maybe you were brought up in a Christian home. Maybe you were saved at your mother's knee, or at your bedside, or in a children's meeting, or in a gospel service, or by the way. Or maybe a little bit later in life, from a godless home perhaps, the Lord lifted you and the Lord gathered you. And we ought never to forget that the Lord is still gathering his flock from all sorts of different places, from all sorts of different circumstances. In fact, the scripture says in Revelation 5 and verse 9 that he's gathering his lambs out of every kindred, and every tongue, and every tribe, and every nation. And we ought to rejoice in that, that the Lord is still gathering the lambs with his arms. So we see there who it is he gathers, the lambs. We consider from where he gathers them. But let's meditate for just a moment on how he carries them. It says there in the text, "And he shall carry them in his bosom." He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. The arm speaks of strength. The scripture says in Psalm 77 and 15 that the Lord has delivered us or redeemed us with his arm. And we have the lovely story of the shepherd that went after the sheep that had gone astray. He had 99 still in the fold. There was one out there in the wilderness. The Lord went after it. And with his arm he reached down and he lifted it and he laid it upon his shoulders. And the Christian can testify to the strength of the arm of God in their life, that he has redeemed us with a strong arm. But the bosom doesn't speak of strength. The bosom speaks of sympathy. He shall carry them. Did you notice what it says? Not on his bosom, but in his bosom. In his very breast. In his very heart. Do you know the word bosom there that is translated in our English Bible? It comes from a verb, as a matter of fact, which means to enclose. Just as the hymn writer said, Fanny Crosby, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. And not only does the Lord carry us in his strong arm, but the Lord bears us in his very heart. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest. His name is love. He ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hand. My name is printed on his heart. Remember the high priest in Israel had a breastplate? And that breastplate was borne, the weight of it, upon his shoulders. But he wore it on his breast, on his chest. 12 stones, engraved in each of the different stones, the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there it was, borne upon his very heart. And the Lord takes the little lambs of the flock, and he lifts them, and he carries them in his very heart, in his bosom. And this should thrill us tonight, that the Lord has lifted us, and saved us, and redeemed us by his strong arm. But he carries us in his very heart. J.C. Ryle said, Jesus Christ is not only Son of Man, mighty to save, or Son of God, mighty to save, but he's also Son of Man, mighty to feel. He's touched. We quote it so often, he's touched. Moved with compassion, touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The generous grazing of his flock. The gracious gathering of his flock. And then the last thing we see in this text tonight is the gentle guiding of his flock. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall gently lead those that are with young. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Paul says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And as he led the Israelite people out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, into the land of Canaan, right there to Mount Zion, so he leads us as well, out of the bondage of sin, across the wilderness of this world, into the land of blessing, and then one day right into Mount Zion itself. And again, you will notice who it is that he leads. It says, he shall gently lead those that are with young. Of course, he leads all of his people. This God is our God. He shall be our guide even unto death. But special emphasis is put here upon those who are with young. The Lord is interested in the families of his people. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 16, it says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls, we've mentioned it already, thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that make thee waste shall go forth of thee. He especially promises to gently lead those that are with young. He promises to help believing parents with all of their burdens regarding their children. You know, I'm sure tonight we feel our great need of God's grace in our homes. I'm sure tonight we all feel our great insufficiency, our lack of wisdom, our lack of power, our lack of ability. We know full well that children can and often do go astray. Even from the mother's womb, the psalmist said in Psalm 58, he said, even from the mother's womb, that's where we begin to go astray. From the moment that we see the light of day, we have got a nature that just takes us astray from truth and astray from righteousness. And we see it happening in our homes and our families with our young, and we feel so powerless to be able to do anything about it. But here's a God who says, I will gently lead those who are with young. He leads those who are with young. He leads the parents and the grandparents and those who have the responsibility for rearing children as they feed on him, as they can testify to the Lord lifting them with his mighty hand, and as they abide under the shadow of the Almighty, close to the Lord's breast, he leads and he guides those that are with young. And you'll notice as well, not only whom he leads, but you'll notice how he leads. He shall gently lead those that are with young. How gentle is the Savior that we serve. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. As we look at our own lives tonight, can we not all testify, I know that I can, with all my sin and faults and failings, that the Lord has been so gentle and so tender and so gracious and so meek and so lowly, and yet all the while he's so holy and so high and so mighty, and yet gentleness. You'll notice his gentleness in Scripture time and time again. And the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And that's what the Lord was. He was all of those things in all of their fullness. A gentleman in the truest sense of the word. Oftentimes we can have a kind of a militant gung-ho attitude, and we can find it very easy to condemn the ungodly to roast in hell. And yet the Lord is gentle. I remember one of our lecturers in Bible college years ago telling us, I suppose just a fable really, about the wind and the sun. And they were arguing over who was the strongest and who was the most influential. And then they looked down and they saw a man. He was wearing a coat, big heavy coat. And the wind said to the sun, I guarantee that I can blow that coat off him. You couldn't blow that coat off him. And so the sun says, go right ahead. And so the wind got up and blew from all different corners. And of course, whenever the wind blew, the man just got his coat and he zipped it up and he put the buttons in and the clasp around the neck and he held it on all the more tight because he felt his need of it. It was a defense mechanism against the strength of the howling wind. And then at last, the wind lost his puff and he gave up. And then the sun says, stand aside and let me try. And the sun just shone and warmed him. And then, of course, willingly, he just unzipped the coat and took it off and threw it over his shoulder. And it was the gentleness, you see, the warmth that caused him to do that. And the Scripture doesn't tell us about Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, so that she attended unto the things that were spoken. You see, the Lord will gently lead those that are with young. And then we can consider as well, time is gone, but you can consider not only who he leads and how he leads, but where he leads. Hymn writer said, all the way my Saviour leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? And the Christian life, as far as we are concerned, started whenever the Lord led us to himself. Now, in the scheme of God, it began in all eternity past. It had no real beginning. Chosen from eternity. But as far as we are concerned in time, the Lord gently led us to the foot of the cross. And the goodness of God in our lives, you see, it led us to repentance. The prophet Hosea says, I will draw them with the cords of love, with the cords of a man. And in so drawing us to himself, the Lord in that declared to us, I am for you. I love you. You just come to me. Don't resist me. And just come as I lead and come as I draw. And we came to the cross. And then he began to lead us from that very moment. The hymn writer said, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Followed thee. And he leads us beside still waters. He leads us into dark valleys sometimes. He leads us over the mountains, but by and by, he leads us. Martin Luther said, I know not the way God leads me, but well do I know my guide. What a wonderful statement. I know not the way God leads me, but well do I know my guide. We don't have to know the way ahead. Sometimes people ask, maybe a Christian, what's God's plan for your life? Where do you think you'll be a year from now? And all of these questions, and we just have to throw up our hands and say, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and I'm willing just to let him lead me. Our brother, Townsley Alford, you don't have to sit in his home too long before he begins to talk about the Saviour and about the Lord and about his favourite verse in the Bible, Proverbs 3:6. And he just smiles at you and he puts up his finger and says, you see, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Aye, and he shall direct thy paths. And it's true, you know. And any Christian who has loved the Lord can testify throughout life's journey, as I have acknowledged the Lord and put God first, he has directed my paths. He led us to himself. He leads us through life. And then one day, the grace that has led us safe thus far, that same grace will lead us home, and we will be with the Shepherd of Israel forever. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. How we ought to be able to say tonight, I have a shepherd, a good shepherd, a great shepherd, the chief shepherd, my shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell.